Hi, everybody. Tent Addict, it gives me anything that gives me warmth and comfort. So my sobriety date is April 11, 2021. Before I get into my story, I want to just warn ahead of time that some people may be triggered by parts of my story. And I think it's very important that I let you guys know that before I start. So I was born September 16th, 1980, in a little small town called Richmond, Quebec. So what was my environment like? It was I grew up around Hell's Angels. My neighbors were Hell's Angels. The other neighbors were Hell's Angels. It was Hell's Angels everywhere. Drugs, gun violence, broad day shooting. That was a pretty common occurrence in my hometown. My parents, my father was very strict, and had a very still hand. My mom was more on the I would say a more docile side. She was pretty good. But my father made up for it. What she had kindness, my father made up for meanness. So how can I start this? After this, I think I'm gonna go into I'm gonna skip a little bit ahead, but I will put a an understanding that my father's family was from Quebec. My mother's family was from Ontario. And growing up in the 80s and having one parent from one province and the other parents from another province, they hated me. Both sides hated me because of the other parent. So I grew up in an environment that I should have never been born. Everything I did was my fault. And my father's family was really prone for telling me I was going to be, excuse the language, a whore, just like her. And I will point it out, my mother was not a whore. And of course, I find this out really later, right? So I grew up with this kind of a mentality that it's pretty shitty. So by the time I was 7 years old, I had already been through physical, mental, emotional, and sexual abuse, including prostitution. My parents split up when I was about five because they fought like cats and dogs 24/7. 24/7. They finally split up when I was five. So I was placed in the what we call the CAS here in Ontario. We call it DPJ back in Quebec. So basically the foster care system. And I was basically tossed around for 2.5 years in six different foster homes. And so I was 10 when I got placed with my father permanently because this girl wanted to be with her daddy, regardless of what daddy did, she wanted to be with daddy. So I got placed with my father finally at 10 years old, got out of that system. And it was good. Yeah, I guess it was good. I had a new stepmom. She was pretty cool. She was good to me. I gotta say that. But I fucking hated everybody. After being tossed left, right, and center in those foster homes, I absolutely hated everybody. I didn't want anything to do with anyone. And I refused to unpack my shit for like months after I moved in with them because I was so used to being tossed around, like I was just nothing, like a baggage, right? So again, the whole nobody wants me. What the fuck am I doing in this world? That kind of stuff. Then at 11, yeah, 11. So 11 years old was the first time I picked up my drink. That was the first time. And I drank to a blackout, 11 years old. And I remember it was cherry brandy. It doesn't taste good, by the way, when it comes back. Not at all. Kind of stayed away from anything brandy for a long time after that one. So here I'm 11. So I'm 11 years old. And I met this great person when I was in my younger 11. And he was great. And let me just point out that I grew up extremely fast. So when I was 11, my mentality was not 11. I was way beyond because I had to grow up. If I didn't grow up, I wouldn't survive. And it was the first person I ever met who actually treated me with dignity and respect. And my father destroyed that. We were together almost a year. And he heard some rumor that he was drinking, and that was that. After that, it was me going from one to another to another to another person. It's absolutely chaotic. I didn't care at this point. You know, I'd lost anything, the one thing that I had cherished. And just, yeah, I lost the care. And I drank when I could. First time I was ever hit, I was 14 by one of my partners. That wasn't very long. But the one I really wanted to point out was I met this young man when I was 16, he was 22. And he was what we would have referred to back then, a total babe, blonde hair, blue eyed, personality, like such a little sweetheart, you know, and there's a reason why I'm pointing this out. It was like that for about 6 months. After 6 months, he asked me to marry him. The moment he put that ring on my finger, shit went downhill fast. And I ended up going through fucking hell. I learned not to say no because the abuse was less bad. This guy believed in mental, emotional, physical, and sexual abuse. It didn't matter if I said no. So if I said no, it was tenfold worse. So it was so much easier just to say yes to everything. So I learned to be kind of a yes girl there. And everything was my fault, by the way, right? Because I made him angry. If he had a bad day at work, it's my fault because I started his day off shitty. I was never skinny enough. I was never anything enough. It's all your fault. So it's carrying on to it's all your fault. And I was drinking too. He was, I would say an occasional drinker, but when he brought booze home, I pretty much drank the most of it. It was my escape. It was my route of escape, just to just numb this shit. Right. And that sequence kind of continued from there off. The partners I choose were people who just, I guess, were, I don't know, you know, I blame myself for everything, you know, because that's what's been embedded in my head, right? And my choice of partners were not the greatest for me, that's for sure. So I'll roll up ahead here, guys. Sorry, it's starting to sound like really repetitive, and I apologize for that. At 24, I joined the Canadian Armed Forces. That was because, you know what? I wanted to make something in my life because I had a son. And I didn't want him to grow with a mom who was working, like those flipping burgers jobs and stuff. And I always wanted to join the Canadian Armed Forces as well. So, you know, finally at 24, after I separated from my son's father, who was yet again one of those ones, you know, it's my fault. I finally did that. And of course, the response to that is I'm being selfish and self-centered, right? I don't only care about myself. But it was pretty good. So I went to basic. Everything went great. I was married then. And that didn't last very long. So I got out of boot camp and I went to my unit. And what happened in my unit? Well, I got posted to what we refer to an old man's club. And in the Canadian Armed Forces, that's not a good thing. Not when you're a woman and you're in a male dominant trade. So it just continued. It continued. My trainer, I was an apprentice. My trainer would fuck up, but he put it on me. So again, it continued on. It's my fault, right? It's always my fault. I'm trying to remember here, guys. Sorry, I've buried so much deep down in my soul that some of it hasn't come back. And Oh, sexual harassment was a pretty commonality too in that unit for me. Harassment in general. For most part, I kept my mouth shut, just took the blame. When it came to me, I did. However, there was one thing that had derived from me going through all the shit in the past, and that was I wasn't the ultimate protector. I was known as the mama bear. Don't fuck with anyone else. You want to treat me like that in the unit? It's fine. But don't treat them like that. And I was very protective of other people. I've been told it's the empath side of me because I just naturally care. I instead of turning the opposite way, which would be, me, myself, and I went the complete opposite. So it was all about everybody else. And I continued that through my career up until it ended in 2016. I was medically released as well. PTSD, MDD, and I call it the whole alphabet, I swear. I got a label of alphabet. My drinking really, really, really got bad after I was released because I lost something I loved. I loved my career. I loved serving my country. And they took that all away from me. And that was really hard. That was like ripping a piece of my heart out. So I had a younger daughter in 2016 too. So I would only, my drinking would be when she went to bed, right? Then mom would get hammered. When, of course, still be up the next morning, hungover as hell, still. And then I would repeat every night. And then, as my kids started getting older, it got worse, right? Because now I'm actually drinking earlier in the day. And it's not stopping me anymore because they're older. Let me see here. So through all this time, I'm still going, by the way, to one relationship to another, right? Because I'm the yes girl. Embedded that, it doesn't matter what goes wrong, it's always my fault. That's the environment that I just grew up in, and it was just so deeply embedded in my soul that everything is my fault. So I'll bring you up to my last drink, which was April 11th of 2021. My last drink, where did it bring me? Well, brought me blackout drunk, and it also brought me to ending my life almost. And I say almost because I would have succeeded, but my kids stopped me. And I'm so grateful that I have those kids because they have been my strength. And it's been difficult. It's been difficult. So now I'm supposed to say how it is now. So this is where I'm at now. I think it's important that I let people know that it's okay to struggle. No, regardless where you are in your journey, I have started doing some personal work on myself, and it has led me down another really dark path because everything is flooding back from this trauma stuff I'm doing, and I'm going through the suicidal ideations. I'm going through all that stuff. I did, and you know what the biggest. My biggest thing, and this is certainly my counselor telling me to put a reminder in my phone, is the self-care. So I'm on the self-care journey right now, and that self-care journey is literally not feeling guilty and guilt, shame, and feeling absolutely selfish when I take a shower, because you know what? My kids might need me then, and that's where I'm at in my journey. Everything I do, I feel so much guilt and shame. And I feel so selfish. And it's a work in progress. It's a work in progress. And I haven't picked up. I haven't picked up. I've stayed strong through it all. You guys, you know, obviously these worms have been such a big thing for me, to keep me sane, as I want to put it right now. And, you know, I have a lot of love for people in these rooms. They saved my life. And I think I'll end with that, guys. Thanks for listening.